See if we can get that up there, Ms. Linda. So that's our title today. So what does that say? The right kind of fire. James had already introduced to us in chapter 3 the tongue. And he said the tongue is like a match in a forest. In a dry forest, and you scratch that match and it starts just a little bitty baby fire, and it can destroy an entire forest. In other words, that little match, that little spark can become so destructive. And that was the analogy of the tongue that James used. The tongue, when it's used in the wrong way, can be very destructive. And to pick up on that, James says later in James chapter 4, our text today, in verse 11, he says, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another?" In my tenure here, we've spoken a lot about judging, righteous judgment and unrighteous judgment. And so I think many of you have pretty well understood that and begin to practice that in your life. We have new people that are coming in all the time, and it's kind of a brand new subject. But nevertheless, for all of us, even whether you know it really well or you don't know it really well, you still get into the practice of your life, and you discover different relationships that you have and experiences that you have, and you're not really sure how to use this exercise in a righteous way through certain events in different ways. It just gets a little confusing. It is a minefield out there. In the world, in the sinful world that we live, with all the different elements and facets of life that there are around us. And so it's always good to pick up this topic again and think about it. And we'll have a good illustration today of how we can use that. So God doesn't want us to speak evil of our brethren. That's pretty simple. That's pretty cut and dry. We shouldn't say something that's ugly or negative or hurtful about our brothers and sisters. Loving your neighbor as yourself, you wouldn't say that about yourself unless you're repenting, before the Lord or to another person or something like that. But you want to treat others like you want to be treated. And you're thinking about others in terms of their worth and their value before God. And so you really put that in perspective, and then you start limiting your vocabulary. And so we don't want to do that. So the question really is, how do we put that in practice in the real life? Because what we have is we have righteous judgment and we have unrighteous judgment. Now, let me take you over to a text. When we think about judging, the topic of judging, Jesus brought it up in the first sermon that he ever preached. Here's what he says. He says in chapter 7, in verse 1, first two words, judge not. Judge not. Judge not. So, we shouldn't judge, right? I mean, that's what he says. He said, judge not. Right? Let me take you over to another scripture. Over in Acts, I think it's 23. And before I get there, let's go to Galatians. Hold your finger on Acts 23. And let me just take you over to this other scripture in Galatians. Chapter 4 in verse 11. I'm sorry, 2:11. 2:11. Now when Peter, this is Paul speaking, had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Does that sound like a judgment to you? Sounds like one to me. Paul said, I blamed him. I blamed him in front of everybody. Paul says, because he was wrong. That sounds like a judgment to you? Sounds like a judgment to me. Well, wait a minute. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said what? Well, boy, the Bible must be wrong. They just must have goofed. It must contradict itself. And of course, people do that all the time. They don't read the whole verse. I didn't read the whole verse to you. It's chapter 7, verse 1. Go back there and read chapter 7 of Matthew in verse 1. Judge not that you what? Oh, you guys don't even have to read it. That you be not judged. You see, the Lord is not telling us not to judge. He's saying don't judge in a way that you'll be judged. In fact, he goes on further than that in John chapter 7 and verse 24. Listen to what he says. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with. In other words, our Lord is commanding us to judge. And so many Christians, you know, and when you're trying to help people and talk to, well, you shouldn't judge. Well, where did you read that? That's not in the New Testament. No, I should not judge with unrighteous judgment, which is judging in a way that I'll be judged because I've judged incorrectly. But no, in fact, the Bible tells us I better be judging. I better be judging, though, when I do so righteously. Now, that's a tongue with the right kind of fire. You see, when you have the wrong kind of fire coming out of your tongue, it's destructive. The wrong kind of fire does not have others' best interests in mind. The wrong kind of fire does not have God's law in mind. The right kind of fire coming out of our tongue is such that we want God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7, the context is such that Jesus told us to judge with righteous judgment, which is judging in a way that we won't be judged, so that we can do what? For the purpose of what? I think it's in like verse 4. So that we can pick the speck out of our brother's eye. We always focus, you know, as we read that text, about the plank in our own eye. And in fact, we've probably told some others in our time, in our days in the past, and said, well, you ought to get the plank out of your eye, brother. Well, we should get the plank out of our own eye. And so that we might do what? Get the speck out of our brother's eye. And I would suggest to you today that you will never be able to get the speck out of your brother's eye unless you become a very good judge. One who knows how to use righteous judgment. Now, the text I was going to point you to over here in Acts, in Acts chapter 23, in verse 4, the Apostle Paul is taken before the Sanhedrin. And in verse 2, and the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by Paul to strike him on the mouth. And Paul said to him, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. What does that sound like? For you who sit, now listen to why he says this. For you who sit to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law? In other words, you're doing what you're doing as a lawbreaker, not as a person who's obeying and submitting to the law of God. But then notice what happened. And those who stood by said, "Do you revile God's high priest?" And Paul said in the Greek vernacular, "Uh-oh. I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" So even though what Paul said was accurate, it was only accurate within the context that the person who struck him was not the high priest. You know what Paul stepped into there? He stepped into a situation where he didn't know all the facts before he said what he said. Even the Apostle Paul did that. And he's way up there, my friends, on the spiritual ladder. And if he can do it, what does that mean about you? And what does that mean about me? So, in using righteous judgment, we're going to have to be very, very cautious, very careful. Because to use righteous judgment, you're going to have to know all the facts. Because if you don't know all the facts, you may find yourself in the same situation as Acts chapter 23. You may have to make a big apology and say you're really sorry and you really goofed. You're trying to have less goop-ups. You're trying to have less uh-ohs in your life with your tongue. Now, here is the struggle. At the same time that you're trying to have less uh-ohs, you're trying to have more righteous judgment. Because it is righteous judgment that brings the kingdom of God in heaven down on earth. The Lord wants us to speak the truth. But Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul also wrote, the Lord wants us to speak the truth in love. In love. So that means that when we are speaking, to speak righteously, to have the right kind of fire, we must always have the other individual's best interest in mind. Now, the Apostle Paul did have Peter's best interest in mind when he spoke to him in Galatians chapter 2, when he was referencing the time that he did speak to him. Because Peter, he said, was acting like a hypocrite. He was a Jewish guy who had gotten saved and became a Christian and then began to understand that all foods were clean. And yet when he met with the Gentiles, he was like, "Hey man, you know, let's have some ham tonight for dinner." And they were like, "Okay." And then some Jewish brethren would show up to dinner and Peter would excuse himself because he didn't want his Jewish brethren to see him eating a ham sandwich in front of the Gentiles. Because that wasn't kosher. And the Apostle Paul knew all the facts about that situation, and he confronted Peter about that. He said, "Peter, what you're doing is wrong. You're playing the hypocrite." And of course, Peter repented. You see, that was the goal of Paul. The goal of Paul was to help Peter see his wrong so that he might repent. Because if Peter repented, not only would he not be a stumbling block to the other church, and of course, he's a huge, you know, pillar there in the church in the New Testament, everybody's watching Peter. And so if he can help him repent and say, "No, this is not the way I ought to live. It's not the way the rest of us ought to live." Not only does he help him in his fellowship with God, he helps him in his fellowship and his example with the rest of the church. So you can see how righteous judgment was needed. It was absolutely paramount. It's so important. And yet, it's difficult to do. And it takes practice. And I assure you, as you're practicing on this deal of trying to say the right thing at the right moment, in the right way, it takes a lot of practice, and you're going to mess up. You're going to have some goof-ups. You're going to have some "I'm sorry's." But you're trying to do a better job of this and work at this. You're trying to work at everything that the Lord tells you to do, right? If the Lord says you ought to be speaking righteously, you should be making righteous judgment. Aren't you working at that? I mean, surely you are. And that's one of the problems with being so such an absentee of the New Testament. As I think about it, I think about these things that are in the New Testament that I haven't been paying attention to because I haven't been working as hard. I haven't been laboring as hard as I need to in the New Testament. And so some of these things, I become an absentee. And so I'm not practicing. I'm not working on some of these things that the Lord is commanding me. And I have to ask God to forgive me and to help me and do better at it today and tomorrow. And you do too. So one of the reasons we have this thing we call church that God gave us is so we can come, we can study the Word of God together, and we can figure out and try to ascertain what is it we've been missing? What is it we have not been paying attention to? And that's what James is doing in his epistle. And he's saying, here's something you need to pay attention to, the tongue. Don't speak evil of your brother. Okay? In other words, if you're going to speak the truth in love, that means you're going to, since love has the best interest of everyone involved, you're going to speak in a way that has the best interest of everyone involved. That's speaking righteously. And we've seen some examples. We could cover a lot of bad examples. We don't have time. So we're going to need to kind of wrap all this up. It's just a really brief little devotion today, you know, because we're going to have the Lord's Supper today. But this brings us to a practical experience that we have in our city with all of us. Now, one of these days, I'm going to figure out, I guess somebody to figure out, how many people in our membership live in the county and how many of them just live in the city. And I think we have a lot more county people than we do city people. But someday we'll figure all that out. So if you're not living within the city limits, you probably don't pay attention to a lot of the city government and the things that go on as much as the city people. Heck, a lot of the city people don't even pay attention to a lot of the city stuff. And one of the things that's come up is this ordinance about the game rooms. I think we have around 11. There's more of them that are applying to come to our town. And these game rooms, we believe in, and a lot of the other people believe in town, are not a good thing. And there are a lot of things that go on that are not really legal there, underhandedly. And this is a speculation that we're making. This is not something I know firsthand. I don't know this factually. But nevertheless, I don't think these are, I'm using that word think, I don't think these are a good thing for our community. And I'm so ignorant, you know, I'm driving around town and these things have been around for a while and I'm noticing all these barbershops that are popping up around our town. And I came home one day to Allison and I said, man, the haircut business is thriving in this town. And I was serious as a heart attack. I even thought about getting a haircut one time, just trying one of them out one time. Oh, well, no, I won't be doing that. Those are where the game room things are going on. Now, even though the state of Texas, in my understanding, doesn't allow it, they don't disavow it. So it's not something, it's kind of a great, it's not illegal to do it, but it's not necessarily illegal to do it. And so it's not something, it's something that they can do in this town or any other town. And so I got involved and I started speaking up in the city meetings, the city council meetings. And I told the city council once again, this was my second time, I stood for them. I said, I'm against this. I don't think gambling's a good thing and tempting people to do that. And went into all the, you know, all that kind of stuff. I said, I don't think this is a good idea. And I think we should vote no. Here was the ordinance before us. The ordinance that stands right now, even to this day, is that these gaming rooms cannot be within 1,500 feet of a church or a school or a playground or a hospital or some other things. And if they can't, and there are other things too that they have to comply to, but if they can't comply to that, then they have to comply or go out of business. And so I said to the council, you have the authority, and they wanted to grandfather like five or something, or I don't know how many of the 11 game rooms. They wanted to grandfather them and allow them to go for another year. And I said, no, I'm against that. I said, this council has the authority to keep that present ordinance in place that will cause those, it will force those gaming rooms to comply, they won't be able to comply, and they'll have to go out of business. Well, the city council voted for it 3-2 to grandfather those things. Well, we found out after the fact Friday that that was unconstitutional. So Monday they're going to have another call meeting, and it's likely they're going to vote again. A new ordinance, come up with a new ordinance to say we're going to grandfather these gaming rooms so they can continue in our town. And I don't think it's a good idea, just because I just don't think it looks good. I just don't think people want to come to a town where it's just full of all this gaming room stuff. And I don't think it's good for growth. I don't think it's good for families. And I don't think it's good, period. That's just my personal opinion. And I gave it. Well, we had the Lutheran preacher and the Methodist preacher. He got up there. And in fact, we were ready to ask you to consider signing a petition for a referendum so that it could come up for vote with all the people in the city of Floresville in May and let the people vote on it. And we had to have 500 signatures for that. Well, now we couldn't do that because unconstitutional Friday, they're going to do a new ordinance Monday. So if they pass it, the first day we can probably do is Tuesday or Wednesday, and we'll have till like the 24th or 25th of this month to turn it in, to have 500 signatures, and you have to be in the city limits for that to sign that. And in fact, John over at the Lutheran Church, he called Father Frank a Sacred Heart, and he was going to do it too at his church today. He was going to have people. Heck, we have 1,000 people right there. Bunch of folks probably live in the city limits. So we have a lot of the people and coming against this. Okay, so. So you want to be thinking about it. If they do pass it, if you live within the city, you may want to consider signing that to get a referendum so we can get it on the ballot for May. Well, that's speaking up for righteousness and that kind of thing. But and I think we should do that. I believe we should do that for our community, for our state, for our country. This is really what was going on in the American Revolution. Those people weren't silent. Those people spoke up for liberty and for freedom. And so I think the worst thing we can do is be quiet. And I think that's what Jesus is speaking about in chapter 7 and verse 24. Don't keep your mouth shut. But when you talk, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. You can't just shoot your mouth off. You can't just be talking to be talking. You got to be very, very careful with your words. Which brings me, as I close, to the individuals on the council who voted to grandfather these things. I totally disagree with them. Totally. But you know, there was one of the councilmen, and I asked him, I said, if you're for grandfathering these game rooms, I said, tell us why. And one of the councilmen did that very thing. He voted for the grandfathering. And I walked up to him afterwards and I said, you know that I disagree with your decision, but I want to thank you for at least telling us why you voted the way you did. And he said, thank you for your thank you, you know, and we shook hands. And then I shook hands with one of the other councilmen. Here's my point. I couldn't disagree with what they're doing more. In fact, I've signed a petition to recall two of the councilmen and the mayor, because I believe on another issue, well, what they're doing is totally wrong. I don't think it's good judgment. I don't think it's good for our city. And so I'm voting for another vote. But here's my point. Even though I disagree, those councilmen that I disagree with are human beings. They are not my enemies. They are people that God loves. And they are people that God the Father sent His Son to die on the cross for. That's how valuable they are. And so we get kind of sideways sometimes. We don't really see the forest for the trees sometimes. We get confused about that, and it's easy to do. We start conflating the issue with the person. No, this is what you don't want to do. And this is what we see the Apostle Paul doing. And in other places in the New Testament, when King Saul was trying to kill David, because he knew the Lord was going to put David in his place someday. And one day the Bible says that Saul went into the cave to relieve himself. In other words, to go to the bathroom. And David saw him there, and he went and he took his spear, a sword. He took a sword and he took a little piece of his robe. And then Saul didn't know that he was there, and Saul went out and got down inside the valley there from the cliff, and he was and then David went, "Yoo-hoo!" You know, he started waving it. He had his sword, and he said, "You didn't know I was here, but I was here. Gotcha." And he said, "I could have killed you." And then David said he felt this tremendous sense of sin over his life. Why? Because he touched the person of Saul. And God doesn't want us to do that. Only God has the right to do that. You know what our job is to do? Is to speak righteously about truth, but also pray for those who are in leadership and have respect. What did the Apostle Paul do with the high priest who ordered him struck? He said, "Oh, forgive me. I shouldn't have spoke evil of you knowing you were the high priest." And so God wants us to have respect and honor, but at the same and value for people, every single person, even the people we disagree with. I couldn't disagree with President Obama more. But he's a person that God loves, and my job is not to touch his person, his character, but to pray for him. This is what God would have us to do. To not keep our mouths shut, but when we speak, to use the right kind of fire. He'll take practice. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, again for your word and how you touch us, so that we might touch others in a righteous way, in a way that exhibits love and righteousness at the same time. In fact, if we don't have love, we can't be righteous. And if we don't have righteousness, we can't exhibit love. They do go together and create the right kind of fire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand? We're going to have an invitation. Maybe there's someone here today who needs to make a public decision in some way. I'll be standing right here. You come as the Lord leads.